Welcome to some amazing discussions from the voices of young America. Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. In the next hour, you'll hear from leading women in academics, business, entertainment, and more. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, joined here today by Anu Bardwaj of Women Investing in Women, as well as our guest today, Betsy Hall McKinney, who is doing some incredible work to generate interdependence between men and women and then to create equality in the workplace and around the world. So thank you so much, Betsy, for being a part of our program today. How are you doing?
I'm great, and I'm thrilled to be here with you. Thanks for inviting me.
And we are so honored to have you on our show. And the first thing I'd like to talk about now is a little bit about your background. And you've shared with me that you have had quite some international experiences traveling Europe and Asia, even going to the USSR when that was still around. And I'd like to know from you if you were exposed to any of the issues of gender inequality there.
Well, yes, I think all of us are still exposed to it everywhere we go. It's very much a part of culture here in the U.S., but also internationally. And as we know, in different countries, it's experienced in somewhat different forms, but it's still quite universal that women are not at the decision-making tables in sufficient numbers. And even throughout our culture, we're not respected at the level that needs to happen in order that women can enjoy full access to all the different parts of our society that men have. And so, yes, while I was traveling, I certainly experienced that gender inequality.
Right. And then you go on to say that it's necessary that we try to establish some common ground between men and women in order to solve some of the issues that we see, some of the issues being equal pay or rights in the workplace or in society or what have you. What do you mean by having a common ground, though? How can we achieve this?
Well, between men and women, we certainly know that it's been an imbalance of power for thousands of years, really, and that's not to blame men. It just is a reality. Men have been designing all of the systems of government and the economy and really the law, and that imbalance of power has resulted in many benefits to our society. There have been great things that have been part of, you know, our many thousands of years of development, but it also has resulted in half of the population, and that being women, really not being in the design of systems that we have to live within. And women's economic freedom, our political freedom, is really very, very new. So in order to find common ground, but really when I'm speaking about common ground, it's really about finding common ground between those of us who are trying to find the solutions for the challenges we're facing in the world. But it's important that for men and women that we find a balance of power. And that balance of power begins with women having the right and the ability to be in leadership positions here and around the world to help determine our future. So how do we find that balance of power? And why is it important that women contribute to the design of our systems as we go forward in the future, is what I speak about when I'm speaking publicly.
Excellent. And Betsy, I think you bring a very valid point, is that you can't just put all of the blame on a certain demographic. You can't just blame the men for having the majority of representation in leadership positions or in different decision-making processes. So is there, besides there being an imbalance of power, is there a specific reason why there is inequality? Is there a true heart to the problem that we face around the world?
Well, people have different opinions on that, you know, and different belief systems, whether they're religious or political or cultural belief systems that perpetuate the imbalance of power. And yet in democracies around the world, and as people try to find justice and a way for people to live together more equitably, we're all seeing that it's important that we all have the ability to participate in shaping our future. But what's happened is that for thousands of years, that's not been the case, and it has been men not to blame, but they have been able to really determine all of the systems that we're living under. And so how do we now bring more voices into the solution sets and to designing the solutions? Because we know we're facing challenges all over the world in terms of the environment, growing inequality, or financial institutions that aren't working for everyone. And so how do we now begin to include everyone's voices so that we can have what we like to call, it's a whole systems approach. Mm-hmm. And that whole systems approach means that everyone's voice is valued, because when we work together and when we find common ground and we find the things that will improve the community for all people and for all the life around us, we'll come up with better solutions than any one group could devise, because they're not taking into consideration all the voices and all the stakeholders.
Right. And when you talk about having all the voices come together and be represented, I believe some countries do that better than others. And a statistic that I know that may be shocking is that the United States is one of the biggest offenders of not having female voices be heard equally to men's. And I'd like to know from your experiences and what you have come to understand through research and all of that, what are these countries doing that we aren't when it comes to creating equality?
That is such a great question, because actually the United States is ranked, I think it's 95th now, worldwide in terms of women's representation in elected offices. That's 95th out of 184 countries. So we are really lagging behind, you know, half the world in terms of women's participation. And so I was the chair of an initiative at the Women Donors Network that began 3 years ago. And we looked at what are the structural barriers that are preventing women from being in elected offices and decision-making tables. And what we found globally is that the only solution that has yet worked to get women into those positions of power and decision is to have quotas. And quotas work. And there's no doubt about it. They really do work. And they shift the balance of power, and they start to shift the cultural experience that then becomes a very positive reinforcing loop, that you don't have to continue to have the quotas, but initially it is required to make the change. As we know here in the United States, quotas and affirmative action have a very hard road in this country, because they are really essentially taboo now. And so we have to consider as women, if quotas have been the only solution and they're really not politically feasible here in the U.S., well, then what are we going to do as women?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we're having a summit May 1st through 3rd in Baltimore to talk with women and to hear from women and women leaders about all the ways in which women's leadership right now, not just in getting elected to office, but what are the ways in which women's leadership can begin to help make shifts here in the United States that will be meaningful in getting more representation and having our voices heard.
Right, and we will definitely talk more about the summits that you have, because it is very exciting, and encourage our listeners to learn more about the work that you're doing in that respect. But you do talk about affirmative action and how it's interpreted in the United States, and it is a tricky road, because on one hand, you do want to have quotas and you do want to have that equality, but then on the other hand, like you said, you face the risk of having opposition. They're afraid of reverse discrimination and all of that. So how have you been able to address that challenge and to have people understand that something like this could work?
Well, we are seeing the success that has happened in other places around the world. And here in the United States, I would say it's a conversation that is just becoming more public. And while many organizations in the United States that are working for what's called political parity, which is getting more women elected to office, are very well aware of these issues, the general public is not.
Mm-hmm.
And the general public has overwhelming numbers of people in the U.S. believe that more women should be in decision-making power and be involved, and they believe in partnership.
Mm-hmm.
But most people still don't understand that women are less than 20% represented in elected offices, that we're less than 5% of CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, and don't understand the problem. So that we are right at the beginning of what is needed is a public education campaign to help people understand what the situation is and how to get involved in the issue that they care about. And men are calling for partnership. Men want women's leadership as well. This is not just women saying, oh, we need to have a say in our world.
Right.
Men are yearning for this partnership too. So we're just at the beginning of what will be a broad education campaign to help people see the situation, what are the options that we have, and how can we be creative here in the United States? We don't have to do it exactly like the rest of the world.
Excellent.
There are lots of ways for us to explore.
Excellent. And talking about beginnings, we are just getting started with this conversation, but we are going to go to our first break. To all of our listeners out there, go to facebook.com/womeninvesting and follow what we're doing as an organization, as well as going to Twitter and using the hashtag womeninvest and hashtag girlsinvest. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food, beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit!
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Join us every week for the Paper Hope Street Team. None of our topics are off the table. This is a program that you can listen to and discuss with your family. From the pages of the Paper Hope blog to the internet radio airwaves, we'll talk about the topics you want to talk about, such as friendship and relationships, or some more controversial issues about sex, drugs, and underage drinking. Join the Paper Hope Street Team live every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. Let's talk soon.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk.
You are
radio.
Listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and once again, we are joined by our guest today, Anu Bardwaj of Women Investing in Women, as well as our other guest today, Betsy Hall McKinney, who, before we talked to the break, was telling us about the equality between men and women out there, or the inequality, rather, and how we were able to solve that problem. And Betsy has some different initiatives that she's part of as well that is tackling this issue. And through the Women Donors Network, Betsy, I'd love for you to explain, first of all, what this network is and how it's helping you to find solutions.
The Women Donors Network is a group of 200 or so women in the United States who are using their wealth and their power and their privilege to help people and organizations that are underrepresented in our country and that are really trying to build a more equitable playing field and who care about the environment, social justice, racial justice, and really about how we're going to evolve our democracy and also create lasting peace in the world. And so it's a very sophisticated group of women donors who are learning together about how to use their philanthropic capacity to help people nationally and globally.
Awesome.
Where are they based, Betsy?
The Women Donors Network is based in San Francisco, California.
Great. And we've talked to a few entrepreneurs in that area in California, and they too talk about the amount of importance that the women there place on different issues and trying to create equality and for different gender rights. So that's very special, and it's amazing the work that California is doing in the women that live there.
Well, and Michelle, to be specific, actually, that's just where the offices are located, but the Women Donors Network has members all across the country and even internationally, a few internationally. So it's a national organization.
Great. That's incredible. And one of the initiatives that you've been a part of is the Who Leads Us initiative. And this is, again, an initiative that expands nationally and has international significance, I believe, as well. And if you could explain what that is to our listeners.
Question, how could we ignite more women into the political process, but also into in business and in their communities, in all forms of being involved and active? And how would we ignite women to get more involved in the issues that they care about and also in bringing about gender equality in women's leadership? And so we did a lot of research about, you know, where we might be most effective. And what we found was the issue of getting women elected into office was a critical leverage point that for all the issues that women care about, no matter what the political spectrum of those issues, that unless we have access to power and decision-making at governmental levels, we're fighting an uphill battle. And so one of the most important things we can do as women is to increase the number of women in elected office. And so we did a study called WhoLeads.us, and you can go to that website, WhoLeads.us, and it will help you to see. We did a study on all of the elected offices, over 44,000 offices in the country from the county level up to the congressional level, to determine the gender and the race of our elected officials. It's never been done before, so it was groundbreaking research and tedious to find out all those details. But and what was revealed is not surprising, you know, really, is that, and again, this is not to blame. We're just trying to understand the reality of, do our elected officials reflect the demographics of who we are in the country? The United States is a very diverse and richly diverse nation, but we are not diverse in the people who are making the decisions for our country. So it turned out that white men in this country hold 4 times the political power of women and people of color. And it's 71% of elected officials are men, 90% are white men. I'm sorry, 90% of our elected officials are white, and 65% of our elected officials are white men. And again, this is not to blame white men. It's just simply to say, well, this would be a natural outcome of the fact that since 1776, it was white men who had the right to vote, white men who began our democracy. And just as our governing documents say, it was in order to create a more perfect union. They didn't say a perfect union. A more perfect union was what they tried to do in 1776. Mm-hmm. We're being called now to create another more perfect union. How could we become more perfect now, given that those who are making the decisions in our country do not reflect the rich diversity and the talent of the people that our country has in our demographics? And how can we change that? So that's what we did. And the statistics, when you go to WhoLeads.us, are very informative, and they're baseline for us to start tracking, well, how could we make our government and our democracy more reflective of who we are as people in the country?
Love it. Now, what do you believe will be the effects of having a truly representative democracy in our country?
That the decisions that are made will reflect all the different stakeholders of the people that we have in our country, so that it will come from a rich set of varied experiences, people who come from different demographics in our country. They will have their voices heard, and we'll have solutions that fit a lot more people.
Great. Now, let's move on to the Women United For initiative that you've been a part of. I'd like to know the mission of this initiative, because I just think it's one that's so great that our listeners would like to know about as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, the Women United For was the precursor to WhoLeads.us, and it was a beginning of the work that we did. And when we were doing that work with Women United For, it began around the topic of gun violence prevention. And gun violence prevention was happening right after the Sandy Hook massacre.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a group of people who wanted to speak about how we would find common sense gun violence prevention measures that could build a broad spectrum of solutions, not just getting guns off the streets and not trying to take away Second Amendment rights, but how can we build a broad coalition of people to talk about the issue from every angle and come up with common ground solutions. So when we first started the interview, you asked about finding common ground. This isn't about one side winning or one particular viewpoint determining what the solution sets are for our country. It's about a new way of being together and bringing together people from diverse backgrounds, lots of different perspectives, and finding a way to find common ground together rather than what is the common polarization of what some people would, in this issue, think of as Second Amendment rights people mm-hmm. versus those who are concerned about guns on the street.
Right.
But how do we build a platform for all the voices to be heard and to be respectful and to find common ground solutions?
Right. And like you said, it's a very political issue that is, it tends to be very polarizing. What I find interesting about this initiative is that it takes it takes opinions from different women and incorporates a lot of women into it. And I'd like to know, is there a difference between how women approach the issue than how men approach the issue?
Absolutely. And when we did the initiative Women United For, we did the first ever poll on women's opinions on gun violence prevention. And when that information was released, it became very clear that women view that issue very differently than men. And so that's another important part of the work that we're doing with It's Time Network and with the summit It's Time 2015, is creating a structure now and an annual gathering where we'll be able to track women's opinions on issues and year to year begin to show how we can begin to effect change based on consensus that women have about any particular set of issues.
Mm-hmm.
But first we have to know where we agree, and we don't have a common clearinghouse that shows how women see issues and where we actually have consensus and how we could work together collaboratively now to make change.
Excellent. And we are going to get back after this next break to talk more about the work that you are doing with your various initiatives and projects as well. For all of our listeners out there, be sure that you go to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, be sure to use the hashtag #InvestInWomen and #InvestInGirls to let us know what you're thinking about this. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Become a teenager and are ready to move on to the next phase of your years. The squeals and screams are replaced by slightly less squeals and screams, and you're expected to act a little more grown up. Tune in to Life at 14 for the answers and support you need to get through this time in your life. Your hosts have some amazing life experiences, and because of this, they have the know-how to get you ready for what's next. Life at 14, Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Kids channel.
Sometimes we may sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
What's cooking? Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food, beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit!
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag Women Invest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, once again joined by our guest today, Anu Bhardwaj of Women Investing in Women and Betsy Hall McKinney. And before we went to the break, we talked about the Women Donors Network and the initiatives that Betsy has been a part of to try to level out the playing field between men and women in positions of leadership around the world. And now, something that Betsy has started herself that is very exciting and significant as well is the It's Time Network. And Betsy, if you could share about this network.
Yes, It's Time Network is about building a national network here in the United States of partner cities around the country who know that it's time for a lot of things. It's time to accelerate the empowerment of women and girls. It's time to evolve our democracy. It's time to build economies that care for each other and care for the earth. And it is time for us to regenerate the earth and to clean up a lot of the problems that have resulted from the industrialization of our world and what is now a consumer-oriented society. Mm-hmm. So It's Time Network is building a national network of people who know that that's the work of generations ahead. And we're producing our first annual summit, It's Time 2015, the Partnership Summit to Elevate Women's Leadership. And that's happening May 1st through 3rd in Baltimore. And that's coming up just two weekends from now.
Wow, awesome. And we want our listeners to go ahead and look that up and see the exciting speakers that you have. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But what I think is so important about this network is that you're truly taking these issues that we've faced for, like you said, such a long time. And typically these issues have been brushed under the rug to try for different generations to deal with them and not worry about it now, just keep pushing it off. But as we all experience, it's about time that this ends, that the problems that we face can be solved. And the fact that you're creating these groups to create the solutions is very important. So something that you also emphasize in this is interdependence, and I'd like to know more about how this idea came about.
Well, I watched a documentary film called Misrepresentation, and that film is by Jennifer Siebel Newsom. And 3 years ago, it debuted, and it is about the how media treats women, and that women are underrepresented in government, that we're over-sexualized in the media, and that still our voices are largely absent from the debates of the day. This was at the time when, if you'll remember, Sandra Fluke was sitting before a governmental panel on reproductive rights, and the entire panel was men that she was in front of. And so during that time when I watched that film, I was enraged, really, that here we are still in the year 2011, I believe it was, where women still are not in decision-making power in sufficient number. Mm-hmm. And so I went home that night, and I thought to myself, how did we get here? I'm very versed in the environmental and social justice movements, and I'm fairly well educated. And I thought, how could it be that our democracy is in such a state that we don't have everyone at the table helping to make the decisions? And so I went home and I read the Declaration of Independence. And as I read the Declaration of Independence, I realized that we need new documents. We need a new era in our country. It's not just about independence anymore. Just like a human goes through the developmental stages of being totally dependent on their parent, and then you become independent, you then also grow up and realize that it's not just about me and mine and my self-interest, which happens in the independent years when you're becoming a teen. Mm-hmm. As you mature, you realize you're interdependent. Your life is interdependent with your community, your family, and you mature. The same is true in our governing structures. Independence was an incredibly important era, and it took us from an era of dependency on aristocracy and that type of authoritarian government to independence, very important. But the next stage is, how do we move to interdependence, recognizing that we're in a world where everything we do matters to everyone. The air we breathe, we're all interdependent upon the air we breathe and the oceans and the fisheries and our environment and the health and well-being of one another. It matters that we recognize our interdependence.
Right. And Betsy, I think you're on the right track here in talking about the difference between independence and interdependence, and the idea that interdependence truly just means global thinking and understanding that what maybe one country does can affect the other, and how if women are not treated fairly in one country, it impacts all the women all over the world, and they realize that there is inequality that needs to be solved. And I think that it's interesting that you read the Declaration of Independence, because I believe a lot of people wouldn't think to reread that document and understand where there needs to be changes. And if you'd like to just share what changes you think specifically need to be made to not only just the document, but just the mentality of this country.
Yes, and to be clear, I wrote the Declaration of Interdependence simply out of the responsibility that I feel that I have as a woman is to step into a place of power, not to be asked. I have a right to look at what I think needs to be said about our declarations now. And so I wrote a Declaration of Interdependence. I took the original document, and I rewrote it word for word and sentence by sentence until it felt like it was relevant now for our times. Mm-hmm. So it addresses the imbalance of power between men and women. It addresses the need to have our campaign finance and electoral systems not at the mercy of financial and moneyed interests, and that we have responsibilities as citizens, not just rights. Our original declaration speaks only about our rights. It's an entitlement document. Mm-hmm. We need a document that talks about our responsibilities to be informed and engaged electorate. We have a responsibility to review our campaign finance and electoral systems so that they are not corrupt. We have responsibilities to future generations. Nowhere in our documents, in our original founding documents, do we speak about the interdependence with the health of the planet and the health of other countries. It wasn't the era back then, so it's not, again, to criticize what was. It was relevant for the times.
Right.
But now we have a new era, and it's important for all of us to be interdependent in our awareness and working together to solve the problems.
Excellent. And a lot of people don't realize that America is comparatively a very, very young country. And we see some of the other countries in the world that are older and are experiencing issues with inequality. But like you said, I think that America could be compared to that kind of teenager that had to get through its rebellious phase and go through its independence, but now realize that as a country, we need to mature more and to incorporate men and women and all different walks of life and different outlooks and all of that to create a more cohesive country, right?
Yes, and to create what even the framers would call to create a more perfect union now. Mm-hmm. Every generation needs to examine where we are in our country and our democracy and continue to create a more perfect union. We'll do the best we can in this era, and future generations will as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the summit in Baltimore is really about elevating women's leadership across many different sectors. We'll be speaking about women in the environment, women leaders in economics will be there, women who are investing in girls and know the importance of empowering girls nationally and globally. We'll be meeting with women from around the globe who are in women, peace, and security sectors, who know that we actually can have meaningful responses to the conflicts worldwide when we engage women stakeholders in those countries. So it's a very cross-sector gathering of women leaders with men who will be there as well to show that there are many, many wonderful solutions that we do have available to us. And as we go forward and engage all the stakeholders now, we'll have much better solutions that can help us in the decades ahead.
Great. And now for the little bit of time that we have in this part of the conversation before we get to the next break, if our listeners are unable to attend the summit in Baltimore in 2 weeks, is there a way that they can learn more about what's going on?
Yes, they can go to www.itstime2015.com and they'll be able to see the event listed there and all the speakers. They can also scroll down and go to a place where they can join the network and they can sign up and they'll be informed about the live stream. We'll be live streaming it globally, and if you're signed up and part of the network, you'll be getting announcements about how to tune in, and you can always go to itstime2015.com on the day of the event and you'll be able to participate in the live stream.
Great. We encourage all of our listeners to see that.
What's the charge for the live stream?
There is no charge for the live stream. We're doing it free of charge, and we launched an Indiegogo campaign in March that was successful in raising $75,000, thanks to our incredible donors, to provide scholarships to the event and also to have the live stream available to everyone.
Excellent. And with that, we are going to go to our next break. Make sure that if you are listening to this, to check out that live stream and see how you can interact with the events that are taking place in 2 weeks from now. Very, very exciting stuff, Betsy. And once again, to our listeners as well, go to facebook.com/womaninvesting or on Twitter. Make sure that you use the hashtag #InvestInWomen, Women Invest, and Girls Invest. And we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back once again to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, joined by our guest today, Anu Bardwaj of Women Investing in Women, as well as our other guest today, Betsy Hall McKinney. And for our last part of the conversation, Betsy, we'd like to know more about what got you started with this journey and why you're just so passionate about everything that you do.
Well, primarily it's because I'm a mother. I have a 16-year-old daughter. And as I look at the world that she and all the children in our world will be inheriting, it's a very serious time in our world, and I think everyone's feeling it. We know that population is increasing. We're facing changing climate conditions globally. We're seeing challenges everywhere, and it's easy to get discouraged and wonder, well, how can I do anything about these problems that are so big? And so what's driving me is, not surprisingly, it's the love I feel. It's the love I feel for my daughter, the love I feel for all the children and people of the world, and it's this sense of hope and inspiration, knowing that we actually can make this transition. We can move from this era right now, which scientists are calling the age of extinctions. We're being told, and the science is showing, that we are losing species at a rate that is unprecedented. Mm-hmm. And we can actually turn this around. People are turning it around. There are organizations and efforts underway that are doing incredibly positive work. And the more I learned about that, I felt driven to help promote that work and to raise those leaders' voices and to make them more visible, so that those of us who have such concerns know how to plug in and know how to help make these changes. So I'm passionate about the hope and the potential for what lies ahead.
Awesome. Now, a point that I want to bring into perspective is the fact that Anu, with your daughter Aria, she's very young. She's still a toddler. And now, Betsy, you shared that your daughter is 16, so she's right about to enter the real world, as am I, and it's a little bit of a scary thing to think about. But at these two different points in these girls' lives where they're either growing up with this culture or about to enter this culture as an adult, what can you share with how they're able to live in a world like this and be successful?
Well, what I want them to know is that there are generations of women who've come before them, who have been championing them and thinking about them even before they were born. We have women leaders who've been working for women's empowerment. We have men who've been doing the same. That there's a rich, rich history of incredible women and organizations that they need to know about and they want to be participating in as they grow up. And that we as women now, that are of age, we need to help support these organizations. They are holding a very important line for us as women in terms of our rights and our abilities to engage more fully in the decades ahead. And so the summit is about making that leadership visible, showing the potential we have ahead to work across sectors now and to build our collaborative power together. And so I say to the young women of the world today, get involved, get engaged, come to the summit, listen, find out who the women leaders are, learn about the men's organizations that are calling for gender equality and that are working to engage boys and men in this issue as well. It's so incredibly positive. So I want young women to know that they are coming into a very rich legacy. They're needed. We are eager to unite women across generations, and that's one of the first things we'll be talking about on Friday night on the summit. Rosario Dawson will be there with us, with Dolores Huerta and Cristina Jimenez. They'll be having a conversation about women across generations and what are the next steps now to really empower one another and work together.
Fabulous.
And that's fantastic, because Michelle, you asked the question about Aria, and you know, as you know, she's come on the show with you a couple times, and she's come to our summits, and it's really about building these role models. And Betsy, I would encourage, you know, any of the young women that are coming, or the girls, that if they want to get on the show, on our radio show, that they're most welcome, and Michelle would definitely have a conversation with them about their views, their perspectives, how they feel like we can collaboratively build on the work that you are creating and all these other partners that you've assembled have created. And so we really want this to be a dialogue.
Wonderful. That's wonderful and new. And Go ahead.
And the more women that we have driving this, like yourself, I think the more stronger we're going to get as a whole.
Absolutely. And then also the next piece of that is, while we have young women leaders on and other women working together, the next step in women's empowerment is partnership, and it's partnership across gender. Right now we talk about gender as men and women, but there's a broad spectrum of how people identify as gender. But the men and women and the partnership right now of bringing together, not this is not just a women's rights issue. It's not just about feminism, and it's not just about masculinism. It's about how do we partner now? What's the next stage of bringing the balance of power so that we actually hold hands together? It's not a mistake that I started the Declaration of Interdependence in the exact same language as the original Declaration. And it starts, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for men and women to partner as never before in human history. We've never partnered as men and women. We've never tried that yet. Not really in terms of sharing power. What an amazingly beautiful opportunity we have to hold hands, walking into the future, finding a way to model partnership for our children.
I think you brought a very inspiring and very relevant aspect of this, and just sharing how we can create change with what we have. You don't have to totally reinvent the wheel to try to be successful. If we can just hone in on the aspects of what we have going already and try to fine-tune that and make it relevant to now, because this is, like you mentioned, the age of extinction, but I feel like it's also the age of representation and us finding our voice, whether they're a woman or a man or young or old or what have you. So I think that's very inspiring, and I think that what you are doing to create change is very significant.
Well, and I wanted to say you're exactly right. We don't need to recreate what already is here. It's Time Network is not a new organization. What we're doing is creating a platform, and we're creating a network to promote the solutions and organizations that are already working for change. We're just creating what is essentially like connective tissue so that all the parts and all the stakeholders can bring them together. It's like bringing all the pieces of the puzzle together. We're just creating the platform where those pieces can come and assemble. We're not trying to create something new. We're elevating what is and making it more visible so that we can all begin to see the hopefulness of this and what is possible in the decades ahead. And I think you know this so powerfully. Our children's lives depend upon it. The future right now is very tricky, and it's very important as we navigate the very tenuous and difficult spots in our world right now that we bring love and compassion and really a sense of hope and possibility to the world right now, and that is what It's Time Network is doing.
So I've got a great statistic I want to share with you, Michelle, if I may. Our Facebook followership right now for women investing in women is 300,000.
Wow.
And it's 60% female and 40% male between the ages of 13 to 35. So what this tells me is that we have much to look forward to if we have boys and girls, young women, young men, who are engaged on our platform across 100 countries on this issue of the economic empowerment of women. So whatever you want to communicate, we're here for you, like your reports and your research, and we've got the channel, we've got the audience, and we've got our voices, more importantly. So feel free to always, you know, use us as a partner and whatever you need.
Oh, thank you so much. And that's the other part of what It's Time Network is doing. This is about partnerships, and that as we join these partnerships together, we start to build our understanding of one another. We can begin to build collaborative approaches, and the message can become more and more clear. This is a change not to be afraid of. This is a change that actually allows us to really step into the future in a way that is more loving and more positive than what we're seeing right now in the world. And it's letting the voices of love and compassion and generosity and sharing and being of service to one another being the very primary motivations for what we do in the world today. And I think it's a beautiful beginning.
Excellent. And Betsy, what you're accomplishing with your achievements and your work is so inspiring. And I can only imagine the impact of what's going to happen in the next years to come. And I am very much excited to be part of the world that you're helping to create. So thank you so much for sharing with us and being a part of our program today.
No, thank you. It's been a pleasure. And I'll look forward to seeing you hopefully soon.
Great. And we'd like to thank you to all of our listeners out there for listening as well. You've been listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. This show is produced by State of Women, the first radio network for women and girls for Voice America Kids and Kidstar Radio. Connect with us by using facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, use #womeninvest, #girlsinvest, and #weforshe. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe. Until next time.
Thank you for joining us today. Your hosts will be back next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, for another edition of Women Investing in Women and Girls on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll talk then.
My name is Lindsay Marie from Bookworm. Now from the Kidstar Album of the Month, here is the Whiz Pops and their song, Blue Wave. was the Whiz Pops from the Kidstar Album of the Month.